big welcome back into the grill room with Bob and Jay. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Jay Randolph Jr. You probably know him much better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, after a couple of weeks of R&R, there's lots to catch up on.
Yeah, the golf world seemingly continues. We've got the final FedEx Cup event to talk about. We've got the final event on the European Tour. We've got the United States Women's Open and golf to come before the end of the year. So, you know, as things have kind of slowed across the country as it relates to what people are doing and what we're being suggested to do, the golf world moves on.
Yeah, it certainly does. And somebody continuing to move on is 23-year-old Victor Hovland from Norway. Wins his second PGA Tour event, Mayakoba Golf Classic, sinks his 10-footer on the 72nd hole for the win. What can you possibly say about Mr. Hovland?
Well, you know, you look at the success that Matthew Wolf had over the summer, And into the fall, and then Morikawa getting a championship. And, you know, they'd moved ahead a little bit of Vic. But coming through with his second win, doing it against some good competition down the stretch, Aaron Wise was there, my buddy Adam Long, who grew up in St. Louis, loves that golf course, finished second a year ago, tied for third. But Hovland got it done, and by doing so in the final event of the 2020 portion of the year, he ends up third at the time, and moving forward before Hawaii into third on the FedEx Cup point list, as it's Dustin Johnson atop it, Bryson DeChambeau, probably the most talked about golfer of the year, Victor Hovland, Stuart Sink with his good play to begin the 2021 season, and Patrick Cantlay in the top five. But a big win for Vic for sure, and he was really happy with it.
Yeah, he really was. Let me ask you this, Jay, and you certainly have had your lens on professional golf for a long time, one of the leading experts, I would say, in this country. Which kind of surprises you more, the performance of Victor Hovland winning his second, or Stuart Sink just apparently acting like he's 27 instead of 47?
I think there are certain spots on the PGA Tour schedule that a guy like Sink can thrive. I don't know that it's a week-to-week situation. I don't know that it's a sustainable thing for a year, but it's certainly, you know, and he's also got that eye on the prize of turning 50 and golf's greatest mulligan sitting there waiting for him in the Champions Tour. So, Sink is probably more of a surprise, but, you know, clearly he's made it a point to try and get prepared for the Champions Tour. It's just come along with some really good play on the PGA Tour, and you've got to wonder what the win number two means for Hovland as we move towards 2021.
Well, you mentioned the top five in the FedEx Cup points. Let me just go over those again so the information sits in for our listeners. Yep. Certainly no surprise, Jay. Dustin Johnson on top. Bryson DeChambeau second. Victor Hovland, certainly a name we wouldn't have anticipated being in the top five at the start of the year, and he's there. But we also couldn't have anticipated Stuart Sink name. And Mr. Steady Eddie, and I think this next name, Jay, when he gets a little breakthrough or something happens positively, I think Patrick Cantlay is going to be a real force to be reckoned with.
The question becomes, does he fall into the trap of Kuchar and become that ATM machine and that top 10 machine and winning, you know, once or twice a year at a PGA Tour event, but not having that major in the cachet? Still extremely young and still extremely talented. Probably doesn't get talked enough with what we saw with Hovland, Morikawa, and Wolf. Probably a little forgotten sometimes, Patrick Cantlay. You better not forget him. And, of course, Dustin Johnson, Bob, stays number one in the world because of that victory at the Masters in November. He is still number one worldwide.
Yeah, Jay, you bring up a great point. As a little time separates us from that unique Masters in November, Dustin Johnson just putting his foot down and saying, hey, look, I'm the number one player in the world. I got more ability than anybody, and I got a green jacket now to go along with my Masters trophy. Dustin Johnson, certainly the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you stopped for a moment and thought about kind of the post-Tiger era or the post-Y.E. Yang victory over Tiger, who's been the best player since then? I mean, Rory, you can look at the majors and the victories and put him right there, and then there's Dustin Johnson. You know, some people say Koepka. Some people look at what Spieth did for those couple of years, and some people throw in Justin Thomas. And I'm probably missing one or two. But I think at this point, Rory and Dustin are just a little bit ahead of the pack. There's still time to go, and there's still time before at some point, and it may be 20 years from now, based on what we saw the last time, there will be another dominant player. I mean, history does repeat itself. We looked for the next Jack, and the next Jack was on covers and on NCAA All-Americans, and who it was going to be, and is it Bobby Clampett? Is it Gary Hallberg? Is it Scott Verplank? Is it this guy? It was Tiger Woods, and we found out, you know, a lot of us found out in about 95, 96, 97, And we're hopeful that it was going to happen. So I do think that Dustin and Rory have moved themselves to head of the pack. I do think what would be fun is to see them battle a couple of times, see them have some epic duels at Augusta or at a British Open.
Good point, Jay. I think that would be good for golf, the fans of golf. You know, they're both so multi-talented. Really pretty incredible. All right, next up was the QBE Challenge, part of what we used to call the Silly Season. Partnership Golf, Greg Norman was the host, as usual. And for him, it's buddy golf. He pairs players together that want to play together. Pretty unique format.
Yeah, it is. It's a unique deal. I don't know how much it's needed, but Matt Kuchar and Harris English won for the third time. So they get their Christmas bonus. It's the first time a team has won three times. Others have won multiple, but not as a particular team. And this is the third time for Kuchar and Harris English. I paid more attention to the United States Women's Open, which I know we're going to talk about coming up. But, hey, the QBE Challenge, I guess somebody's happy.
Yeah, for sure. And I really think that probably going to help Harris English more than Matt Kuchar. Harris English just seems to be bubbling under the surface. Yeah. You see a little glimpse here and a little glimpse there. But bottom line, I mean, he is the real deal.
He has had a tremendous fall. He's one of those guys I've been watching because of the DraftKings more so than anything. Harris English has really established himself in the last since the COVID situation, and he's a guy you definitely want to keep your eye on, Bob, as you said, going into 2021, starting out in Hawaii.
All right. Before we move on, I want to rely on your expertise there, Jay Randolph Jr. Who's your player of the year? Who made the biggest impact on the game in this COVID-19 messed up season? And of the young guns, who will make the biggest impact this coming season? Will it be Wolf? Will it be Morikawa? Will it be Hovland? Let's turn to the crystal ball of Jay Randolph Jr.
I think the player of the year is who we discussed. I mean, because we've got a schedule that ends at a certain point, and especially this year because you had majors played after the quote-unquote PGA Tour FedEx Cup season, you could maybe talk a little Justin Thomas, but it's Dustin Johnson, hands down, player of the year. I think two things made the biggest impact on the game in the COVID season, and I'm going to go one direction with the golfer and look at the bigger picture. Golf rounds are up dramatically. Golf ball sales are up dramatically. There was a real lull for people that were in the golf business over the last 4 to 5 years heading before this year. And it's a terrible thing to have occurred, obviously, the COVID situation, but it has been good for our game in a way. The key will be the ability to keep some of those players in the game and also continue to work on pace of play. The guy who made the biggest impact on the game in the COVID season was clear. It was Bryson DeChambeau. He was the most talked about golfer, period. It wasn't to that Tiger Woods level where the general sports fan was talking about him constantly, but it was the marquee guy of the year, and he is a guy now that moves the needle, and you've got people on both sides of the column liking him or disliking him or thinking they understand him and not understanding him. He's a fascinating case study. Young guns, I mean, based on what we saw, I was a little disappointed on Morikawa's play after the victory at the PGA, but understandable because it is a change in your life. I think Hovland was interesting here with his performance in Mayakoba, and Wolf seems to just be ready to bust loose. So I'll go with Morikawa just because of the PGA this year, but all three of them may have huge years, Bob.
You know, it's amazing, Jay, and certainly enjoying your review of these players. Not in a million years did I think that we'd be coming up on Christmas and one of the young guns, specifically Morikawa, has, won a PGA Tour major championship, and we're not overly excited about what he accomplished. I mean, that seems mind-boggling.
Well, and I think we've got to look back, and also that playoff with JT, where he put the putt in on top of JT. As I said, I was a little surprised that he didn't finish off the year better. But folks, when you're that young, you win a major, you're going through the COVID thing, your life changes, who knows? I mean, we forget sometimes these guys put on the pants the same way we do, and things can, one bad day can change things. So you're right, when you talk about a young player, you don't have as much history to know how consistent they are. I mean, was it lightning in a bottle for Morikawa? I don't think so, but you never know.
Well, you certainly never know when it comes to the European Tour. When I first got a glimpse at the log that so aptly produced by our executive producer, Janice Self, and I read halfway through it, and I see we get down to the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, and good golly, Miss Molly, 47-year-old Lee Westwood wins a season-long race to Dubai, the Harry Vardon Trophy. He was crowned European number one for the third time in his career. He's 47 years old, and boy, does he look good right now.
He does, but it almost makes you go, how'd he win it? I know he played well over there, and waited to come over here. it's the first time since 2000. Think about that. The first time in 20 years that he won the European Tour Player of the Year, if you will, or the race to Dubai. Almost stunning. And then you see the youngster, Fitzpatrick, win the last event, the World Tour Championship. You know, that European Tour is strong. Congratulations to Lee Westwood. Again, the only thing not in his cachet, a major championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lee Westwood, very much in the middle of that, certainly proven diet for 47-year-olds. All you have to do is get yourself a skinny girlfriend, and I guarantee he'll be skinny too. So let's listen to Lee Westwood right now on what he had to say about that major accomplishment.
Well, obviously I got off to a very good start with the win in Abu Dhabi, and you know, that sort of brings it into your mind a little bit more prominently. But no, you know, I played pretty well all year and, you know, flirted with really good results in some tournaments. And obviously I knew what I needed to do when I came here, and it focused my mind. And, you know, first or second was always going to give me a chance, and sure enough, managed to achieve it.
Pretty amazing stuff again, Jay. And you know what? A couple of things. Certainly, there's probably not a better ambassador for the sport of golf than Lee Westwood. And to show people the dedication. Look, it's coming up on Christmas. Who are we talking about? We're talking about a 47-year-old Stuart Sink. We're talking about a 47-year-old Lee Westwood. If that doesn't inspire people to continue to play this game, I don't know what does.
No, that's a great point, Bob. It's a game for a lifetime, for sure. There's no doubt about it. And guys are showing it, and it's fun to see. Meanwhile, the European Tour has announced a very healthy 2021 schedule, and we'll talk more about that in our opening shows in January. Bob, next our attention turns to your backyard, if you will, down there in Houston, Texas, at the Champions Golf Club. Our man Jackie Burke and his lovely wife Robin, who was a stick, a former Curtis Cupper, kind of run the show there at Champions. And some really good golf played in some weird weather, a washout on Sunday, a Monday finish, and it had a lot of drama on that final round Monday.
And I just want to mention, because I don't think our listeners ever really get a glimpse into what a great competitor our executive producer, Janice Self, played on the Texas Cup team with Jackie Burke. I mean, play with Robin. Play with Robin, competed against Robin, lost to Robin, defeated Robin in the Houston City Championships. It was great to have the Women's Open come to the Champions Golf Club just to see Jackie Burke. You know, he won the Masters, he won the PGA Championship, just been a legend here in the Houston area. And Jay, you know, that Monday finish without a playoff was the first time since 2011, only the third time in history of the Women's Open. We go back to 87, 11, and 20 that we had a playoff without, we had a Monday finish without it being a playoff.
Well, and it's almost hard to believe. I mean, even though I know that it's a summer event and Texas is hot in the summer, with Texas's golf heritage, especially on the lady side of things, it's hard to believe that it was only the second time a U.S. Women's Open Championship was played in Texas. But your winner, I mean, really out of nowhere to a certain extent. I mean, A. Lim Kim, and what a way to finish it off in her debut, playing in her debut U.S. Women's Open. A. Lim Kim becomes the fifth player to win in their debut, and this was really incredible, Bob. There were a lot of stories in the final round. Amy Olson, an American whose dad had passed away during the championship. So emotional after she finished. You had amateurs in the mix. You had the South Koreans trying to become winning for the ninth out of the last 13 years. I actually, I kind of downplay the ladies game these days, but I really enjoyed watching the U.S. Open, U.S. Women's Open on Monday.
Yeah, I just wanted to, it was Amy Olsen's father-in-law, but they had a very close relationship, Jay. But, you know, you mentioned A-Lim Kim in her first attempt. That's all well and good. But then go to the last chapter of the book that she wrote last week. Birdie on 16, birdie on 17, birdie on 18. When you birdie the last three holes of any major championship and you come out on top and earn $1 million, boy, oh boy, you certainly can jump up and down and say, I have arrived.
Yeah, I think she was laying in waiting. I mean, and this may be a run. I mean, this was strong play, and as you said, to do the turkey, the triple, three in a row to close out the U.S. Women's Open. Congratulations, special stuff. Next up, it's more of that silly season we used to know, the PNC Father-Son Championship, or the PNC Championship, because it's not fathers and sons necessarily. After a break, we'll preview one of the most fun events of the year. As I said, used to be called the Father-Son. We'll tell you about it right after this.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase a season pass. Walters Golf Management manages eight other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. You can find Mr. Bob Bubka on Twitter at Bob Bubka, V-O-G. That V-O-G appropriately stands for Voice of Golf. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me at STL Golf Geek. And we finished up our chat in the previous segment on the U.S. Women's Open. But Bob, you wanted to mention one more thing about a young lady from Austin.
Yeah, I've gotten good reports from Sunny Rhodes, a longtime player at the University of Texas men's team, playing under Harvey Penick. But Caitlin Papp of Austin, Texas, was the low amateur. She birdied the final hole to finish in the top 10 in ninth place. But congratulations, Caitlin Papp, being the low amateur at this year's Women's Open.
Watch for her at that Augusta Women's Amateur, which will be coming up the weekend before the Masters. So that should be something. The PNC Championship, getting a lot of attention this year because Tiger Woods and his son Charlie are going to play. It's in Orlando. Used to be the father and son, but oh, times have changed. You can have your grandmother, you can have your dog, you can have whoever you want play, it seems like. Except the only way you get invited, Bob, is you got to be a major champion, and then you can pick a family member to partner with them. The three-day pro-am, round one, starts Saturday, and then the final on Sunday. And of course, the big story, as I said, is that Tiger Woods and his son Charlie are going to play, and they're going to be paired with the Thomas boys, Justin and his father, the PGA pro, Mike Thomas.
All right, new to the field this year, J. Mark Calcavecchia, going to be playing with his son, Eric Calcavecchia, Padraic Harrington, and Patty Harrington, Jim Furyk, Tanner Furyk, and paired together. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be fun. Justin Thomas, Mike Thomas, paired with Woods and Woods. And early reports are that young Charlie Woods might be further ahead in his skill at giving the needle than he even is in playing the game, although many reports have come back to me saying that his swing is really solid and people are going to have lots of enjoyment watching Charlie play with his dad Tiger over the weekend.
I hope they just enjoy it and don't get too serious with it. I mentioned earlier the quest for the next Jack, and remember that Sports Illustrated cover with Gary Nicklaus on the cover saying the next Nicklaus. And, you know, I think you got to be careful. Also, Annika is playing with her dad, Tom, and Annika is also going to play in an LPGA event, but she's going to play as an amateur in the Pro-Am portion. But I love seeing Annika still involved in the game. And this should be a fun way, the weekend before the holidays with Christmas and Hanukkah going on now. So, Bob, it should be a nice way to cap off a unique golf season with a lot of great major champions getting together with family members.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe. 25 years ago, Annika Sorenstam at the Broadmoor in Colorado.
Colorado.
Comes away with the first U.S. Open title of her career, bounced right back to Pine Needles the following year and won that. One of my highlights of my career, certainly crowning Annika both at the Broadmoor and at Pine Needles. Annika Sorenstam, you want to know what class is? Well, you just look up everything that Annika has accomplished and the manner that she's accomplished it, and just mind-boggling, how she has done it. She's a great mom, a great wife, a great competitor, and certainly a superstar as far as being an ambassador for this wonderful game of golf.
Well, Bob, we've gotten everybody up to date on the golf news as we end 2020. We're going to take a break until the beginning of the year with Hawaii. And I wish you and Janice and all of our listeners a very happy holiday season.
Yeah, I want to echo those sentiments to you, Jay, to your unbelievable dad, who was such a pioneer here in the world of golf. And as you said, to all the listeners of the Grill Room, we greatly appreciate it. So we'll sign off with a happy Hanukkah and a very Merry Christmas.